This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Dave Brown, and this is a podcast version of AMI's Morning Show, Now with Dave Brown. Catch the live broadcasts weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern on AMI Audio and AMI TV. Welcome back. It's Now with Dave Brown on AMI Audio and AMI TV. Let's talk tech with Mark Aflalo from Double Tap TV. Earlier this month, an anti-waste food app called Too Good To Go launched in Toronto. To talk about this further is Mark Aflalo. He's one of the co-hosts of Double Tap TV, which you can find on AMI TV Tuesdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And Mark joins us this morning from Montreal. Hey, good morning, Mark. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing wonderful. You?
I'm doing well. So, Mark, this is a really important topic. Beyond being a good, important technological story, it's just generally an important social cause as well. And I gave sort of the one-liner, not even the elevator pitch of what the Too Good To Go app is. So give us a bit more detail on what it's all about.
It's a pretty cool initiative. I mean, this is a service that's been around for the past couple of months worldwide, but is now only coming to Toronto. Basically, they're trying to fight food waste. And how do you do that when you're a food waste app? Well, they're connecting individuals like you and me with different restaurants that are looking to save their footprint on, and they're, you know, the creation of emissions, greenhouse gas emissions. If you look at the details, the facts are that each year, one-third of food produced in the world goes to waste, which represents about 8% of all greenhouse gas emissions. So by connecting consumers with restaurants who are trying to obviously do their bid to be a bit more sustainable and not waste, and to those who want to actually help contribute to that, the app connects the two of them.
So how does that process work? I've got some bananas going bad on my counter. I call up Jack Astor's and I say, guys, I've got bananas. Or how does this work? Is it a little more complex than that?
A little bit more complex than that. It's mostly the restaurants who, at the end of a night, have a lot of food waste going on, whether it's food that wasn't eaten. It was mostly things that are prepared or meat that's out that they don't want to freeze and stuff like that. They will actually prepare these surprise bags of food, normally include some kind of protein with some kind of side, maybe even some kind of dessert. And they'll make them available on this app for people who want to buy them at extremely discounted cost. We're talking about at least a quarter of the cost of buying regular food. And if you are interested in actually getting one of those bags, you can actually pop by the store and pick it up, make the purchase in the app, and you two are connected. And what happens is you've made yourself a nice good meal at a fraction of the cost, and you've, you know, contributed to help saving that food. And the restaurants don't have all the stuff going in the garbage. They're not feeding the rats out in the alley anymore. They're actually taking this meat and stuff that might have been, you know, defrosted or fresh. You know, a lot of restaurants, you know, cook fresh, right? So they have meat that comes in the morning, and they overestimated, so they got a leftover. So now they're going to do something with that and make money off it, whereas they wouldn't have made money on it before. It would have been gone to waste, obviously contributing to all the waste that we talked about. And instead, they are actually putting it to good use.
As you mentioned, Mark, this is something that recently launched in Toronto. You also mentioned that it's an international initiative. Tell us a bit more about the sort of range and scope they're looking for here in regards to their reach.
Okay, right now the app has more than 40 million active users in 15 international markets. It's called Too Good To Go, and it's helped save more than 82 million meals since 2016 when it actually launched. So coming to Toronto, they've partnered with nearly 100 different partners and restaurants in Toronto, and the ones they highlighted most recently are Eataly, Greenhouse, and Fresh City. And those companies specifically were chosen because of their commitments to sustainable practices.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to ask more about those relationships, because obviously to make this work, you need buy-in not just from people who want to buy deeply discounted meals, but from the restaurants who are actually producing the extra food, producing what would typically be the food waste.
Exactly. The restaurants, you know, obviously have to have some kind of, listen, there are restaurants that say, okay, whatever, this is just part of our business, so we're going to throw this food aside.
Yeah, it's a sunk cost. It's a sunk cost.
Exactly. But if you actually look at it and say, okay, wait a second, we can do our part for the environment. We can help people who may not be able to afford food at its retail cost. And we can take all this food that we know we're going to have at the end of the day, and instead of throwing it in the garbage, literally, that's money thrown away, money burnt. They can turn that into something that helps somebody, helps the environment, and helps themselves and their bottom line at the end of the day.
How are you when it comes to making sure the food in the fridge and the food in the counters end up going to use by the end of the week? I'm pretty good, Mark, but there are some vegetables that sneak by me by the end of the week.
You know, the biggest challenge I have, and I've noticed this lately because the kids have been home, obviously, for quite some time over the past couple of years, is not really the waste and things that we overbuy. Yes, there's the odd, excuse me, the odd banana or apple that goes, you know, goes awry.
Bananas because, go know, too fast. That's like my that's my deepest conspiracy theory. It's like I bought a bushel of six or whatever for the week for my smoothies, and by Saturday, it's all rotten.
Here's the biggest challenge I see. You know, we've made the shift towards delivery and or curbside pickup because we didn't want to, you know, have much contact with people. By doing that, I feel there's a lack of quality control over the products that we get, especially produce. When you buy, you know, you buy the apples that you want to buy, and not only that, but you want to check expiry dates. And that's where I see the waste happening is getting a bunch of eggs and realizing 4 days in, oh, these expired yesterday. Well, why, if I went into the grocery store and bought that, I would have made sure that this expires in 3 months from now, not 2 days from now. And I think that you know, I'm not laying any blame here, not naming any names, but I think they might be taking advantage of us a little bit on this whole curbside and this delivery element, which is why we're going back into stores more and more to eliminate that waste.
Yeah, I've had a few people tell me stories about how they would buy the milk online from a couple different grocery retailers and the milk would arrive and, you know, it would be a week's worth of milk. It would be 6 to 8 liters and the expiry date was the next day. And they were like, what am I supposed to do with 8 liters of milk today?
Well, you could bake a lot.
You could do a ton of baking.
You could feed the neighborhood's
cats. You could do a ton of baking. Yeah, I definitely feel the same way about that one as well, Mark. Trusting sort of other people to pick out your stuff. Again, I'm a single operation in my household, and I tend to get one of those things of arugula or baby spinach for the week. Yeah. And one of the grocery pickers brought me one of the ones with the pink sticker on it that says, oh, it's 50% off. It's going to expire tomorrow. I'm like, this is useless to me. Why'd you get me this thing with the pink sticker? Now, again, I did not give the guy 1 star. He still got his 5 stars. I didn't file an official complaint because the last thing I want to do is get some guy in trouble, right? Like some guy who's working like for less than minimum wage for a corporate tech giant while they get huge profits while he gets nothing. The last thing I'm going to do is like try to bury this guy. But, you know, I just buried him on air on national TV.
There you go. Well, you have mission accomplished.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Speaking of national TV, what's coming up on Double Tap TV tomorrow night?
This is, you know what, it's a fun episode because it's technically our last of this I Quote Your Fingers season, but I mean, we're on every single week, so you're going to see a couple interesting town halls and reruns throughout the summer. But this is a Ask Us Anything episode. We're giving you the opportunity. We're going through our mailbag. We have so many questions that have gone unanswered, but we're going to get to those. Sean Priest is joining us. Mitchell Whitfield is joining us. And we're going to be going hands on. We're going to do rapid fire to make sure we get to all these questions. And we're gonna go out with season three with style. But don't worry, we're more episodes are in the works, recording a lot of stuff going on. We've got an exciting season four coming up for you guys.
Love that. ADTA, Ask Double Tap Anything. That's what we're talking about right there.
I like it.
Speaking of that, Mark, getting in the theme of that, before I let you go, I want to ask you the daily poll today, which is about the Olympics. So I'm asking everybody today, if you could compete in any summer Olympic or Paralympic sport, what would it be? Now, I've got some broad categories here, but I want you to kind of pick a specific one. So the broad categories are track and field, water sports, cycling, or gymnastics. Mark, what say you? What's an Olympic sport that you would want to compete in the summer games?
I would love to have the ability to control my body in a way that I could synchronize swim.
Oh, yeah. That one, that's not just the body control. That's the breathing control, too. You put my head underwater for like 3 seconds. I'm freaking out.
I'm done. Yeah, I'm done. I'm done. Yeah, I'm done after 3 seconds, too. So, yeah, I'd like to have that agility. I'd like to have that control over myselfness to be able to synchronize swim. Even just just a cartwheel or something.
Yeah.
Now, the image of myself in a Speedo and a nice one piece is absolutely gorgeous for my, you know, the listeners and the viewers out there. But yeah, that's what I want.
Well, just wait till we do the Men of AMI calendar. It's going to be a hot seller. Going to sell like hotcakes once we do that. Arr, yeah, that's a pirate theme 1 month for sure. Mark, all the best talking to you. Have yourself a great day and we'll talk to you again. Not next week because it's civic holiday here in Ontario. Not a holiday in Quebec, though. Sorry, your Saint-Jean-Baptiste cancels you out from the August holiday.
Okay, I'll survive.
Okay. I'm sure you will. That's Mark Aflalo. He's the co-host of Double Tap TV, and he joined us from Montreal, Quebec, where, again, there is no long weekend this weekend because they get their Saint-Jean-Baptiste earlier in the summer, but a lot of Canada gets themselves a long weekend. So a regular week this week on Now with Dave Brown, but headed into a long weekend. So I think you might already hear the joy in my voice. It's a possibility, maybe, conceivably, just sort of. Coming up after the break, We'll get to the accessibility story roundup. We'll get her reports on entertainment from Nazreen Abdel-Majid. She'll also share what's trending. Mike Ross will remind you what happened this day in history. And then I'm going to ask Ramya Amuthan what Olympic sport she would want to compete in. Lots of fun coming your way on Now with Dave Brown on AMI. You've been listening to Now with Dave Brown. Hit the subscribe button on any podcast platform and leave us a rating and a review.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.